Okay, hi everyone. My name is Klaatu, and this is Flowblade video editing on Linux. So, who am I? I said that already, Klaatu. I have a podcast out there. If you want to hear more of my voice, you can listen to me at gnuworldorder.info. It's a podcast that typically covers a bunch of Linux topics. Sometimes it favors like the really obscure, geeky stuff, and sometimes it does a lot of multimedia stuff. It just depends on what mood I'm in that particular week. So check that out if you're interested, gnuworldorder.info. More apropos, perhaps, to this talk, there is a documentation site that I maintain called slackermedia.info. And slackermedia.info is essentially a 300-page book, although it's available for free online, so you can just go there and either download it as a text file or an EPUB or look at it as an HTML document. And it's all about turning Slackware into a multimedia studio, which is not as hard as you might think. And the book's aim is to not only help you turn Slackware into a multimedia creation suite, but to understand how all those pieces kind of fit together. Because a lot of times when you're doing multimedia on Linux, the question isn't necessarily how do I, you know, edit this video or how do I make music or whatever. It's more like, okay, here's all the components I have. They're familiar to me, I just don't understand how they're gonna talk to each other. So Slacker Media is trying to sort of get rid of that barrier of entry. There's also a random how-to site that I run called straightedgelinux.com. There's a bunch of how-tos on there. Again, it kind of ranges in topics from like really multimedia-centric stuff to the very geeky stuff. And then my day job is at Pittsburgh Filmmakers Institute, which is kind of why I give a lot of talks on video editing, because it's something that I do every day sometimes, even every night. It's just, you know, I do a lot of video work. I do a little bit of audio editing for video as well, but I do a lot of video editing professionally and just for friends and stuff like that. So Flowblade is a video editor for Linux. It is written, the front end, the part that we see and click, is written in Python. And the back end, the stuff that none of us really ever think about, is based on something called MLT, which is the Media Lovin' Toolkit, I think is what they've decided they're called, and FFmpeg. So these are familiar technologies. If you've been around video and Linux for any length of time, MLT and FFmpeg are kind of very common back ends for these kinds of programs. So Kdenlive, however you say it, is based on essentially the same mix, except none of the Python and a lot of C++ and Qt. So OpenShot, I don't know if ever you've heard of OpenShot, it's another video editor. That's basically the same mix as this. So a lot of this is very sort of tried and true at this point. And I have to say video on Linux has really come a long way since I've been using it, which has only been about 5 or 6 years now. So from the time I started until right now, it feels like we're in a really good place for video editing. The nice thing about Flowblade is that it's fast, it's focused, and it's reliable. Now that I've said that it's reliable, it's going to crash 10 times during this talk. We can count. But yeah, it's fast and it's focused. It's a simple video editor. So Kdenlive is great. It's a fantastic video editor. I love it. I use it every day. It's a nice sort of big and, you know, kind of bloated video editor that it's kind of traditional and familiar if you've ever used Adobe Premiere or Final Cut Pro or anything of that nature. So if we, let's import some clips really quick just for kicks. Just randomly. So if, you know, this is not Flowblade, just to remind you, this is Kdenlive. So, you know, you can mark in and out, you can drag video clips around, and you can kind of just do whatever you want haphazardly. It's a very kind of free-form editor, and it's really, really good. I love it. Caden Live is great. In fact, let's do the talk on Caden Live instead. No, not really. Caden Live is really, really good, and it's very familiar. If you've sat in front of Adobe Premiere or Final Cut, then this is basically the same thing. It would almost be transparent to you that you're not using one of those. It's got all the same kind of functionality. And that's great if that's the style of editing that you're used to or that you're looking for. So nothing against Caden Live, it's still very good. FlowBlade just happens to be a lot simpler and a little bit more strict. And you'll see what I mean by that in a moment. So let's just start editing stuff. So let's go over to FlowBlade. Oh, I should mention before we go over to FlowBlade that FlowBlade is available to everyone from, I don't know, whatever the website for Google code is. I think it's that. code.google.com/p/flowblade, something like that. Just look on Google for FlowBlade. You will find it. It's hosted on their page. They just, like, the guy who writes this just came out with a beta, I think, like, literally today or maybe yesterday. So there will be a new version very soon, which I wasn't even aware of until this morning. But that's where you can get, like, the .deb package. If you, like me, do not run a Debian-based distribution and do not need a .deb, then you can go to fedorapeople.org, maybe, /clat2, or possibly /tilde/clat2. I don't know, one of those, some URL that looks like that. And I've got an RPM that you can download and use if you're using an RPM-based distribution. And then you can find my my Slack build for it at slackbuilds.org. So if you're on Slackware, that's where the Slack build is. So we've got packages for everyone, most everyone. And I mean, obviously there are probably lots of other packages out there as well, but definitely for RPMs and Slack builds, you can check those out. I've got those online for you. The .deb is hosted with the project. So that's that. Oh, and also, you can go and purchase a Linux format magazine from the UK this month, or maybe it was like last month now. It's the one with the Star Trek Next Generation font on the front. It says like the next generation of sysadmins. In that magazine, there's an article on FlowBlade written by a very close friend of mine named Seth Kinlan. He's a good writer. So you can purchase that and basically get everything I'm gonna go over in this talk from that article as well. So lots of resources for you. Okay, so this is the FlowBlade interface. Obviously, it's very, very familiar, right? If you've ever used a video editor, this looks pretty familiar to you. So the first thing that I always tell people to do when editing anything is save your project, which seems weird because we haven't even done anything yet, but trust me, it's just best practice to go ahead and save early and to save often. So I'm gonna save the project and call it something logical. Okay, so now we've got it saved. The way I like to do it is I like to actually create a dedicated project folder for whatever I'm doing. So as you can see, I made an Ohio folder and I put my FlowBlade project into it. So everything I do is going to go into this folder. That's kind of like the best way to manage your media and your projects. For people who don't do that, it's just kind of like you're asking for problems later on. If you ever move your data, you know, some hard drive's getting full, so you have to move some data off of it. The biggest data that you're gonna be moving probably would be video files, because those are huge. So you'll move those to another hard drive, and then at some point you'll think, oh, I should really go and tweak that one last edit that I wanted to make in FlowBlade. So you go to FlowBlade, you open it up, and it tells you, hey, I don't know where any of your media is because you moved it. So if you keep all of your media that you use and your project file in the same folder, then you're going to know these assets must never leave this project file. So do that. So we've saved it. The really cool thing about a FlowBlade project is that it's all, like if we look at it, I don't know actually what'll be in there right now, but let's look really quick. Yeah, so some text. this is a FlowBlade project. So as you can see, it's all very human readable. I mean, it doesn't maybe make a whole lot of sense, but as you can see, it's not a binary blob that you can ever look into. Really, really noticeably is this line right here where it actually has the path of all my media. So if you ever do run into a problem where, for instance, you're on a /media/away team/me/Ohio, and then you go into a Fedora box and it's /run/media/whatever, or you mounted it manually and it's now /mnt/zip/whatever, you can update your own projects by just doing a quick sed script on a FlowBlade project. So that's rescued me a couple of times already. So it's very nice. You don't really know how nice that is until you've used a proprietary video editor and it, you know, doesn't let you do that sort of thing. Okay, next step would be to import the media. So this is that middle. This is the middle bin is the place where we import media. So we'll just add. We'll go to our external hard drive. We'll go into this, and we will go to a sample project. I'm going to randomly pick from these. And I'll import. And there they are. So media has been imported. I can double click on the names and actually give them, you know, logical names. Long shot, walking, scene one, or, you know, whatever. This is all contained in a bin. So this middle pane right here is a video bin. And the bins are described here over on the far left. So I could call this by scene number. So if this was scene one, I might call it scene one. Or if they were all my exteriors, I could call them my exteriors. And you can have as many bins as you want. So you can kind of do a lot of organization for yourself just kind of within this structure. The next typical step would be to then start putting video into your timeline, which is this big long gray spot down at the bottom of the window. And that's pretty simple. You simply double click on a clip, it appears in the far right window. And the typical workflow is that you play the clip, kind of audition it, see if it's any good, or which parts are any good, and that was a very short clip, so let's try something longer. Okay, so once you find the part where the actor actually starts walking, then you can click the In button, which is this sort of button where my mouse is. I don't know if you can see it. You can also just hit the I button to mark in. And when you're finished with that clip, wherever you want to stop, and let's stop them there, you hit O, or the Out mark, which is this button right there on the screen, mouse. So you've got this in and out region marked. So the only part that FlowBlade really cares about at this point is the part that we've marked in and out. To get that region of that longer video chunk down into our timeline, the quick and easy way is just to hit the U key, which simply moves whatever video is marked in your clip view down to the timeline. And as you can see, this far right screen is a dual function screen. So you're either viewing the clip or the timeline, which can get confusing sometimes. I've used this for a few months, and I still kind of sometimes forget to check which view I'm looking at. So kind of pay attention to which view you're in. But once you've got some clips down in the video, then obviously you can play it back in your timeline and kind of watch what you've done. But obviously we only have one clip in there right now. So let's grab another, maybe cutting over to his close-up, and maybe we'll name this to close-up. Scene one. So we'll double-click that, skip over the slate. That stops, okay, let's try this. Okay, so there, let's say here he grabs the bagel from the bypasser. So let's cut in there. And then we'll mark out there, and we'll hit U again. Now notice that when I hit U, it didn't place the video clip where the playhead was, so I'll undo that and show you again. So the video clip, or the playhead here, is like in the middle of the clip. So on a lot of video editors, you would expect it to drop the new video clip exactly where that playhead is. That's kind of a very common convention, is that that's kind of like the marker for where everything is going to go. In FlowBlade, it doesn't do that. It's much more like Avid than it is, for instance, Premiere or Final Cut. It simply places video either before or after your existing region. And you appends the video clip from the clip viewer to the end of the timeline every time. That's what it does. You will append a clip, which seems kind of weird sometimes until you realize that a lot of times when you're at this stage where you're going through the video and just finding the parts that kind of cut together in a logical kind of storytelling mode, you are going from beginning to end, right? You're just throwing together the rough assembly. You are taking the long shot, and then you're cutting to the close-up, and then you're cutting back out to the long shot. And so you're just building it up. You're just dropping everything in the timeline one after another until you've got the basic rough assembly of whatever you're looking for. So let me see. Okay, so here's a long shot of what this guy's seeing. But there's no people, so hold on. There's another clip of that. There's a better version of that somewhere. Oh well, I don't know where the better version of that is, so we'll just use this. So we've got this reaction shot or whatever, this point of view shot. So we'll drop that in with the U key again. And so we've got a basic sort of edit here of the guy walking and then cutting to the close-up and then cutting to what he sees. The obvious point here, or the obvious problem rather, is that we've got repeating action, right? We've got him walking, grabbing the bagel, and then we cut to the close-up of him grabbing the bagel. So you kind of need to adjust that. There are a couple of different ways to do that, and that's at the stage, or that at that stage you would be editing probably in the timeline rather than grabbing parts of clips from up here. You've already done a rough assembly up here, and you've stuck them all down into your timeline. So you're past that. What you're doing now is you're wanting to kind of refine your edit and touch it up and tighten it up. So the way to do that, or a couple of different ways to do that, would be by adjusting the length of this video clip, right? So you want this first video clip to end more like around here where he reaches out for the bagel, and then we cut into the close-up so that we're matching that action. That would be a correct kind of match cut. That's what they usually call it. So we've got him reaching out here, so that's probably pretty good. So there's this button here on the middle bar, and we haven't really touched any of these buttons yet, but there's a couple of different tools here. So the one we're going to go for right now is the third from the left, which modifies just the in or the out point of the clip that the playhead is hovering over. So if I click this, you can see that this clip gets highlighted, but it's sort of the wrong end that's getting highlighted. And the way that FlowBlade sort of decides which end of that clip it's going to sort of highlight for you, because you can kind of see, I don't know if you guys can see, but if you were me, you could see that there are little tiny arrows right here on the edge, on the left edge of the clip. So that's not the edge we want to adjust, right? Because that's perfect. Like, everything here is exactly how we want. Everyone's walking, there's no slate in our shot, so we're fine with that. We want to adjust this right-hand side. So the way that FlowBlade understands which side you're really trying to edit is which edge of the video clip your playhead is nearest. So As long as you're sort of on the right-hand side of that clip, but not so right that you're on the next clip, and then you press that button, then you get your little arrow edges, and you can pull it. You can pull it back, and as I pull, you can see in the video monitor it's showing me how far back I'm going. So we'll just go to about there. Let's say he's reaching for the bagel there. So then if we play that, edit back, grabs the bagel, and that's a little bit quick. We could probably do it a little bit more. Actually, it might have been better before because now we don't quite have the matching action. It's pretty quick, but yeah, you get the idea. You can adjust all that stuff. Now, if you adjust the other way, then you're extending the clip to the left. So if I pull this clip to the left, I actually get more footage before he grabs the bagel. So. And all that's pretty standard stuff for video editing. If you've ever done any video editing, that's pretty normal. That's kind of a standard convention. There we go, that was pretty smooth. Yeah, I'd say that was pretty good. So there you go, there's a match cut successfully done. I'm gonna save. Okay, so. Let's say for some reason we wanted to move the shot. I thought we had, what did I do? Let's say we wanted to move the long shot of the village here somewhere else. We have it at the end of our timeline right now, but we want to move it somewhere within the timeline. For that, we would need a move tool. And these two buttons on the far left are our move tools. There's an overwrite move, and there's an insert move. So again, that's a pretty standard convention in video editing that kind of, it's more or less self-explanatory. The insert move is a little bit unique because, again, FlowBlade doesn't like to cut into video regions in its timeline that already exists. It's a lot more structured than, like I say, Final Cut or Premiere. It's a lot more like Avid in that sense. It doesn't like to just make splices for you unless you explicitly tell it, okay, splice this clip. So if you grab, for instance, this clip, and you tell it to kind of drop it in, sort of like in the middle of this clip, even though we're saying, okay, just drop it right into the middle of this clip, you can kind of see that little yellow arrow pointing at where it's really going to put it. So it's not going to make a splice for you. That's not what FlowBlade will do. What you can do is make your own splice. So if we wanted to, for some reason, cut into this clip with some kind of point of view shot, we can use our blade tool, which is right over here. Blade. So if we have our playhead on the video region and we click the little blade, now it's made a splice for us, and then we could go back to our insert move tool, grab our long shot, and put it down where we want, and now it's right in the middle of the shot, which is maybe what we wanted. So there is no concept of I'm going to drop this video here and you're going to make a splice and move everything over for me and drop that video clip in, which throws some people off because some other video programs do that. This one does not. So it's just a choice that they made. You can also do a fairly arbitrary move with the overwrite move tool, which it will cut into things. I mean, it will totally destroy the sequence for you, but it's not moving anything over. In fact, it's keeping everything exactly where it is, which is why there's now this big blue gap right there in our timeline. This is very, very filmic. This is very, very much like Avid. This is sort of the sanctity of the exact placement of all your video clips will never be interrupted by this video program. If you're doing a lot of offlining and kind of really high resolution editing and you're down-resing it for your edit, and then you're going to up-res it later on, this is really, really important because you don't really want to throw off all your time code. So this is kind of a big deal. Or even if you're like syncing, if you're at picture lock and you've got your soundtrack all designed and everything's perfect, and then you realize, oh, boom is in that shot right at the last second, I should really move that out of there, then you can't make that adjustment without throwing off the rest of your picture, right? I mean, your whole soundtrack would then be out of sync. So it maintains like the exact total duration of your project, I want to say almost no matter what. There might be an exception that I can't really think of right now, but I'm pretty sure that it's pretty much no matter what, it's going to maintain the overall length of whatever you have established as your project. And if you move things around within it, it's going to put a placeholder there. That doesn't mean you can't get rid of the placeholder if you want, but you do need to explicitly tell it, okay, yes, I know I just grabbed 2 seconds out of my sequence and I've moved it around, but I don't need that 2 seconds. I'm not at picture lock. I can do whatever I want. So you just click on it and you hit the delete key and then it's gone. So it's really easy to get around, but it's not one movement. And again, that for in some video editing programs, it is one movement. And so it's kind of, it might kind of confuse you if you're not used to that. Some people are used to it because Avid, that's like the way that it's worked for ages. Like that's all what it's all about. So some people are very used to that. Some other people who may have been used to like that sort of freeform editing may not really be used to it. Okay, so that's basic editing. So let me save that really quick. And let me get into a little bit of the effect stuff. So we're gonna go to this other bin. Actually, let me make sure I'm not skipping anything too much. Well, actually, I should probably mention knowing what the heck you shot. So if you're working on a project, if you were there on set, or if it's your camera and you were the one shooting it, you may know exactly what you were using and what kind of footage you have. If you are editing something for your friends or your mom or your dad or something, you might not know what they have. It's kind of important to know what you're editing so that you can export it correctly later on and so that you can have your sequence set correctly initially. So for that, if you don't know what you shot on, you can always import a sample clip from the footage that you've got, right-click on it and go to File Properties, and it will tell you the name, the path, the location, the resolution, 1280 by 720, and the video codec that it's using, so MPEG-4. And then in your edit preferences, you can go in and set a bunch of different codecs so that your project setting matches what you shot. And generally speaking, there are maybe a couple of exceptions, but generally speaking, you want your, in spite of what I just did, because it actually doesn't match, you want your project settings to match what you shot. You don't want to have, 1080 footage and then edit it as 720. Even if you intend to go out as 720, don't edit in a 720 space. Edit in a 1080 space and then export it and then convert it to 720. There's just not really any reason to put the extra strain on your computer, I think, of like doing live down-resing for no good reason. So, but I kept mine at 1080 because this part of the demo actually is going to use 1080, so I know what I'm doing. So we're going to go to this other bin and add some more footage from a different test shoot. And that will be this stuff here. So some of the cool stuff that this affords, because it's based on a bunch of sort of standard Linux video kinds of tools, is that you inherit a bunch of the pretty well-established special effect plugins. So I don't know if any of you do audio on Linux, you may know like LADSPA. LADSPA is like everyone, it's like, it's an audio plugin for Linux, and there's like a couple of packages that just everyone knows, like the Steve Harris plugins and the CAF plugins, and it's like you get those with whatever audio editor you ever use. It's always there. So on Linux, for video, The big one is Frior, which I don't really even know if I'm saying it correctly, but that's how it's spelled, F-R-E-I-0-R. I'm assuming they mean that to be an O, but I don't know. So it's Frior, and it gives you a bunch of different effects. So we're going to let's see. I'm going to make a new sequence for this entirely. So it's very common in real life, like if you're editing a big long movie, or even like, I mean, by big and long, I mean like maybe 15 minutes if it's 1080, to sort of break your scenes into, well, scenes, and edit them per scene, per sequence. Because basically everything that gets put into your timeline is really getting dumped into your RAM. So, I mean, I don't care if you do have 16 gigs of RAM or 8 or whatever. You know, putting a whole bunch of video down here, especially when you start getting a lot more complex than just like completely, you know, one quick rough cut, can get pretty taxing on your computer. So if you break it up into sequences, that will help your performance a lot. So you can have as many sequences as you want in FlowBlade. So we'll call this the green screen scene. And I'm gonna just reduce the number of tracks that we use because I don't really need all these. So we'll create that sequence. So now I've got a blank sequence, but you don't have to panic. Your other sequence is still there. It's just not in RAM right now, which is actually quite nice for you. So you can really build a pretty robust project in FlowBlade. Again, the nice thing about FlowBlade everything is that it's all, well, and I'll show you later because I don't actually want to do that yet, but it's all plain text, and you'll see some of the coolness with that in a minute, but not yet. Let's do green screen first. Okay, so we've got this clip, and we'll start it, and once the dolly moves, we'll start it. Probably enough, so we'll stop it. Okay, so we've marked our region in and out, and now we can hit either U or any other, apparently not, U. Okay, I'll use the button. Oh, remember how I said it was reliable and that it would crash 10 times? Oh, no, I lied. Okay, see, I told you it was reliable. You guys doubted it. So we've got our green screen clip down here in our timeline. And now we will do a filter first. We're going to do a filter. Lots of filters are available. The easiest way to get to them really is just right-clicking on the clip and go to Add Filter. You would look, I think the first place I looked for this, the green screen effect, was in color because that kind of like somehow made sense to me. That was kind of silly, really, but it's an alpha channel effect, really. So if anyone doesn't know what an alpha channel is, you know, you've got like red channel, green channel, blue channel. Then you've got like this alpha channel, which is something that doesn't really exist, but it's just a note for the computer to, hey, if something's colored in alpha, then make it transparent. Just let me see right through it. So that's what an alpha channel is. So we're basically going to convert a color to alpha. So that is alpha color select. So if, we've got a little swatch here. We click on it. We get our typical color chooser. And we can even use the eyedropper and just kind of like find a pretty good representation of that green. And we'll click OK. As you can see, nothing is happening. One weird thing about Frior in this program, and it's not in every program, so it must be something with the API, and maybe they'll fix this in the beta that they just released, or maybe it's just something I need to talk to the developer about, I'm not sure. But the weird thing is that it kind of does a lot of things in reverse. So like, we're in an alpha converter, essentially. We're choosing the green that we want to convert to alpha, and yet it's by default selected everything but the green. So we need to actually click this invert button. Very, very strange. Don't know why that is. But you'll notice that still nothing's happening. But I'm not panicking yet. So I'm going to move the green screen footage up to this second video track. And then we're going to put something underneath it. So I'm going to grab some stock footage. And we'll grab the stock footage and just kind of drop it down here into the track beneath it. So you're still noticing that nothing's happening, right? And yet I'm still not panicking. The thing is, and this is another one of those things where it's kind of like this two-step process where in a lot of other programs, admittedly, it would just kind of take care of this for us, because chances are if you're doing a color convert to alpha, then you're probably wanting to composite it. But for whatever reason, they don't do it for you in FlowBlade, but it doesn't offend me. You can right-click on the top one again, go to Add Compositor, and the compositor type is affline, A-F-F, or maybe that's, I don't know, affline, I don't know what it means. I read the documentation on it, and I just kind of forgot like what the explanation was. Point is that it... that's the one that you want. So you're putting basically a compositing layer between these two video layers. And so it's kind of tapping into the fact, oh, there's an alpha channel on this one, and there's solid video under here. Okay, now I'll make the alpha channel invisible. So we're getting there, but you can kind of see, and if we play this back, you can kind of see that there's some green artifacts there on the edge, and then more green artifacts there on the edge. I think that's a fine clip to green screen over. So we've got like green artifacts. It's not that big of a deal. If you just double click on the source clip, I have found that rather than using RGB color space, using ABI is better. I don't know what ABI means either. And then you just kind of have to manually adjust the attributes of the color until you kind of get it right. Now, an alternative to that, and probably something more common, would be to simply do multiple green screen effects. So do one for the super bright areas of your green screen, and then do one for the super dark green areas. So you could do it that way too. It's per green screen, really. It's just kind of like what works best for that particular green screen. And part of it is, you know, the uneven lighting. And I can turn the filter off if I want to for any reason and kind of get see what I'm dealing with, but turn it back on and it comes back. So that's a quick and easy and effective green screen, because that's not the best lit green screen in the world. It's not the worst lit, I've seen worse, but in terms of like the shading, and then you've got like these weird sort of like dark lines through the green screen, it was literally gaff tape, like taping the screens together, because we were just using like plywood or whatever, or not plywood, but I don't know, some kind of thin board, and it was painted green. So we needed to like stick them together so that you couldn't see through the cracks. So that's what those dark stripes are through, like right along here. But as you can see, like just a really quick single green screen kind of got rid of it. Now there's also like these reference marks that we were putting up for motion tracking, which FlowBlade doesn't really do, but it was just the green screen footage that I had on hand. We could probably garbage mask that out as well, but that would be more work than I want to do right now. But for a quick and easy green screen, I was really impressed with FlowBlade's ability to do it, and the ability for it to play even a little bit choppy on this, which is like a Pentium laptop of some sort. It's not even... I've seen a lot of video editors that just would not be able to play back green screened footage in real time for me like that. So I was kind of sold on that for that alone. That's compositing. And there's lots and lots of different effects. I mean, like I say, you inherit the whole Freeor package, so you've got a bunch of different effects that you can you can use. Yeah, okay, so then I wanted to show you really quick. Let's go back here. The exporting XML. This is kind of important just to kind of emphasize, I guess, how nice it is to have access to your data. So we've got this exporting function that exports only the it exports only the edit decisions that you've made in your project, and if you're not used to XML, this might look big and scary, but if you work with XML a lot, this is really, really refreshing. And what it does is, at the top of the file, it gives sort of some introductory preamble kind of material about what kind of file this is. So this is an MLT namespace for this XML. And then it gives a whole bunch of information, and it calls things producers and playlists. And a producer is a clip that appears in your timeline, and a playlist is really any item. So eventually, if we do like a search for n equals something. Yeah. So there's a producer. Producer 2 equaling in point at 17 frames, out at 339 frames. So you get your in and out points, plus you get all of the metadata about the clip up here at the top of the XML document. So while you might not use that every day by any means, it's really, really comforting to someone who may have been just burned by a very popular video editing application that no longer has backward compatibility with the package that people had been using for like a decade. Not that such a thing would ever happen in the real world where people respect people's data and art. But if you've been burned by that, you might really appreciate the fact that you can get all the information from, I mean, just everything, the layers, the effects, everything that you do is exported here, and you can go in and change it if you have to repair things, or you could import it into something or whatever. So it's just really nice to know that that exists. What am I doing? I just want to close this file. Yes. Okay. So that's exporting as XML, which is nice. The other thing that you would probably want to do at some point is render out. I'm a big fan of not doing the compression in the thing that I'm using. That doesn't mean that you have to feel that way. It's just that's kind of how I live my life. But they do have like an okay selection of output options. There's MPEG-2, which you probably wouldn't really use, but there's H.264, which you might use. MPEG-4, Theora. And then a lossless one called HuffYUV, which is what I typically use. And then there's like lossless MPEG-4 and H.264. So, it's sort of a fairly standard range of stuff that you could use. You can go in and change some of the code if you want to do it that way. That confuses me. I just get it out losslessly as a HuffYUV, and then just do the exporting or the conversion myself with FFmpeg. Which I think is generally a good practice. I mean, you generally want to render out your gold master and then compress as needed from that. That's a lot easier, I think, than exporting from the project and opening up the project all the time. Because once you're done this project, we could then archive it onto a hard drive, put it in our closet, and we could just keep the gold master out from which we could make all of our compressed versions. That's kind of the smarter way to do it. So. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, you choose your desired output format, assign it to some place on some hard drive, and click render, and then it takes like whatever amount of hours that it takes to render it out, depending on how many effects you have, color correction, whatever. So, yes.
Can you show us the arguments for the HuffYUV?
Can you see that from where you are?
I can, but
okay.
It doesn't seem like it changed. If you like, maybe on.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I never noticed that. But yeah, you're right. That is good to see. Yeah. So, a little bug in FlowBlade just discovered. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's about it. Oh, yeah, and actually, a testimonial from me. I was editing a friend's video that was a one-woman play, one-woman stage play, shot with one camera. What could possibly go wrong, right? So somehow in the camera, the video and the audio got recorded out of sync. So the person's mouth would move, and then the sound would happen. Seems like a pretty easy problem to fix, right? You bring it into your editor, you offset the sound by a couple of seconds or whatever, and everything should stay in sync. For whatever reason, it wasn't happening. It was some kind of weird bitrate error, I'm guessing. I'm not really sure what it was, to be honest. But it was some kind of problem where the sound would not stay in sync. So I tried to fix that in Caden Live. I tried to fix it in Blender, of all things. I tried to fix it all over the place. Could not get the thing to stay in sync. So I was starting to go in and like slice and dice the sound, right? And like offset it. And every time it would start falling back out of sync, I would offset it again. Took about a week to do that, and I was only halfway through. And I finally decided, well, what if I just, I don't know, tried to do something in FlowBlade? I don't know why I thought that would be something, but I decided to try because it was better than sitting there all day, like cutting and dicing and slicing audio and offsetting it. I tried it in InPlayer and everything. So I brought it into FlowBlade, and then if I go into, for instance, let's get rid of that for a minute. If you go into split audio, it does the standard kind of splitting audio action where now you've got your sound and your audio on two different tracks. And I went then to, maybe it was on the audio track, to sync. No, it's not there, see? I guess I have to select both. It went a lot faster when I was doing this in real life. I went in and chose split audio sync. That must have been what I did, sorry. And there it crashed. Split audio sync, and then it literally split the audio and synchronized the audio and video perfectly, like in two clicks. It was really, really bizarre. I don't know why that crashed. But yeah, it fixed the problem in two clicks. And I rendered the project. It took like 4 hours to render it back out, and the problem was solved. I don't know how it did that or why it worked in FlowBlade as opposed to nothing else. But that was kind of like that. At that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to start using FlowBlade a little bit more. Because I mean, nothing against Caden Live, because I don't think it was a Caden Live problem that it couldn't sync. But it was very, very interesting that it just kind of magically synchronized the audio. Very strange. Any questions? Yes.
I think that's from using like a video capture card. You're trying to record like a VHS tape and put it on the computer. It starts dropping frames.
Mm-hmm.
And as you start dropping frames, the video now no longer matches that. So that's probably pulling the sync data. So now this frame now matches this audio clip at that time. Whereas before, you were missing a ton of frames, and now the audio is off. So if you can figure out how to do that, I'd like to see. I got some videos that are that way.
Well, try bringing it into FlowBlade and do the right-click sync, split audio synced, and see if it fixes it. I mean, this wasn't off of a video capture card, though. At least I don't think it was. I'm pretty sure it was a digital trans. I mean, I didn't shoot it and I didn't import it. I was sent the file after they were like, oh my gosh, it's all ruined. So yeah, I wasn't really too clear on the history of it. But yeah, synced audio split is time's up. Yeah, so that's that. Any other questions quickly?
Color shift.
Yes.
I've got a video that looks like the camera wasn't set for the kind of lights that were used, and it's orangey.
Okay.
Is there a quick fix for that?
Yeah, it's a Freeor plugin. It is, if you just right click on the video and go to color, color 3-point balance, I think, maybe. Yeah, okay. So 3-point balance, and then you can, usually the skin tones are in the mids, so if you adjust the mids. Again, the weird thing about FlowBlade, and this is kind of a weak point about FlowBlade, is that it does everything in reverse. So even your color correction, like rather than doing, like when you want to do a color, when you want to add orange, or rather you said you wanted to get rid of orange, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to do that, you would actually add orange, because adding orange takes away, or I mean, I'm never adding, so you want to, what do you want to do, remove?
It's too orange.
It's too orange, so you want to add blue. So in FlowBlade, you have to add orange so that you're increasing the blue. It's kind of backwards. Honestly, I'm working on a plugin right now, a Python plugin, to grab your edit decisions out of FlowBlade, import it into Blender for color correction, and then send it back to FlowBlade, because the Blender color correction makes sense, whereas FlowBlade's is like really, really backwards. But as you can see, I just added orange and it turned it blue. I mean, obviously complementary colors, right? But still, it shouldn't, it's backwards. So that's pretty complex, or pretty weird, yes. Time's still up. Why don't we adjourn, and then if you have questions or want to hear other people's questions answered, come up here to the stage, and I will continue to talk in spite of this guy yelling at me with his sign stuff.